Kids are dismissed for junior church. And if you'll take your Bibles this morning, let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, looking at verses 9 through 14. So John chapter 15, verses 9 through 14. So John chapter 15, look at verse number 9 through 14. Jesus says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you would just bless our time together this morning. I ask that you bless the reading of your word. I thank you, Father, for just the kids' song. I pray, Lord, that we would really even think about those words and not just think that's a cute children's song, but, Father, how true the words are. But, Father, you truly do love us. You love every single person. You want to do great, mighty things in the lives of your people. You want your people to come to fully trust you and to follow you and to believe with all their heart that there's nothing you cannot do in their life. And Father, we thank you that we do have the friend that sticks closer than a brother, that being Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask that you would remind us of that truth this morning. I pray that you would guide us according to your will. As always, Father, we want Christ to be lifted up. We want you to be glorified, and Father, we thank you for the blessings that you do give us through the teaching and preaching of your word and just the fellowship among God's people. Father, I ask that you would please be with those that are not here today. I know some are homesick, some are out of town, some, Lord, they're just not feeling well, and I pray, Lord, you would bless each one. But Father, those that are here this morning, I pray that you would, Lord, speak to our hearts, guide us according to your will, help us to walk away knowing we have received something from you, something we can think about, something, Lord, we can apply to our life, something to encourage us along life's journey. We ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. Now, when you think about friends, friends can be good. Sometimes friends can be bad. But a true and faithful friend is one of the greatest blessings in this life. Someone who loves you, cares about you, someone that will listen to you, someone who will give good advice, someone who's always there. And again, the Bible even tells us that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. We all want a friend that cares about us, will listen to us, and be there for us. But God also wants us to be that type of friend as well. Now, in our verses this morning, as we look at the words of Christ, Jesus talks about a friend. He says in verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." In verse 14, he says, "Ye are my friends." Now, we know that Jesus Christ laid down his life willingly for the sins of the world. For every single person, he laid down his life at Calvary. He died the death that you and I could not die to atone us of our sin. But Jesus Christ, obviously, being the sacrifice from God, being God's Lamb, being the one that can and did die for the sins of the world for every single person, we know that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We know that we can trust him. He's always there for us. I'm glad, again, that at any given hour, you and I can call upon Christ. He's there. He already knows what we want. He already knows what we're going to say. You'll never get a busy tone when you call his landline. It'll never continue to ring and ring and ring if you call the cell phone like some people. But he's always there. He always listens. He's always ready to help. And this morning I want us just to be reminded of some truths about our relationship with Jesus Christ. He is that friend. And he says, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you," as he was talking to the disciples and as he talks to us. But I want you to notice just a couple of things in verse number 9 and following. Jesus says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now, if you've been saved any length of time, you have experienced the love of Christ in your life. You've experienced his faithfulness, his grace, his mercy, his love. You've experienced, even at times, I'll even say, him giving you a hug, comforting you, letting you know that everything is okay. He is the friend who's always there. He never leaves you. And in verse number 9, he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know what? As we abide in God's word, we understand more and more the depth of God's love for us. We understand more and more God's will for our life. We understand that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And we'll even look at in those verses in a few minutes in Romans chapter 8 that talks about just the nothing can separate us from the love of God. But as Jesus says, these things I've spoken unto you, verse 11, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Again, if you've ever had a best friend that was just like a brother, just like a sister, always there for you. It was always and has always been a joy to hear from that person, to see that person from time to time. It brings you joy. But the joy that Jesus gives us, obviously, is a joy that's an everlasting joy. It's a joy on the inside. It's a joy that will always help us to be reminded of his faithfulness, be reminded of the fact that he's coming again for us, he's prepared a place for us, and that he's always there for us, and that he will never leave us. He always has the right thing to say. I don't know if you've ever gone to a friend and had hoped that they would tell you exactly what would comfort you, tell you exactly what you needed to hear. And sometimes, you know, we'll go to people and we'll tell them what we're facing. We'll tell them what's upon our heart, hoping they'll give us some words of encouragement. And sometimes they do. Sometimes they say things, and you walk away and you think, well, that sure wasn't encouraging. But Jesus always has the right thing to say that brings encouragement, that brings the joy back into our life, that helps us to be reminded that he loves us beyond anything and that he's always there for us. So a few things I want us to think about this morning in our relationship, in our friendship, I guess I could say, about Jesus Christ is the fact he is one that shares his life with us. He shares his life with us. Take your Bibles and go to Galatians chapter 2. Many scriptures I want to look at this morning. You can follow along, you can write them down, or you can just listen. But as we think about our friendship with Christ, he has a life that he shares with us. He has a life that he shares with us. Again, in Proverbs 18:24, it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that's Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, a very familiar passage or a very familiar verse that you're familiar with. I mean, you know it. You probably quote it. I know I mention it often here, but it's just a good reminder about the life of Christ that is in our life. It says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Just stopping there and reminding us that Jesus lives within every born-again believer, every child of God. Jesus lives in and through. He's the one that gives us any hope. He's the one that gives us the ability to be able to love, even when we don't feel like loving. He's the one that gives us the ability to forgive when we don't feel like forgiving. He's the one that fills us with peace. He's the one that reminds us the fact that God still sits on his throne, that he has all power. He reminds us that we are his children, that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So God shares his life with us. He says, this is Paul speaking to the believers at Galatia. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I mean, just that one verse, you can speak about salvation. You can speak about Jesus' sacrifice. And the fact is that he laid down his life for you and for me. The only reason why we even live is because of Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives us the very breath that's in our lungs. Don't ever forget that your life and my life belongs to Christ, yet he doesn't treat us like slaves. He treats us like friends. He's always there. He's always willing to help. And many times, he's the one carrying us through the day, helping us through the days in our life, giving us the encouragement we need, and reminding us that he's always there. But again, he shares his life with us. He shares his joy. He shares his love. He shares his grace, his mercy, everything he shares with us. Look at John chapter 13. And again, as I mentioned it, he does share his love with us. And that's what any good, faithful, true friend will do. They will share their true love. And again, true love is not just always agreeing with you and always liking what you like, but true love sometimes will let you know when you're wrong. Because Christ loves you and me so much, there are times where he'll let us know we're wrong. Our thinking's wrong, our motive is wrong, our heart is wrong, because what's in the heart defiles a man. Jesus talked about that. Not what goes in the body, but what comes out is what defiles the man. If there's bitterness, unforgiveness that we're harboring in our heart, he knows that we're destroying ourselves. And he will remind us of that because of his love for us. In John 13, verse 1, you look there, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Speaking about the disciples and those that were with him, this obviously is the Passover. This is where Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. This is where he washes the disciples' feet. This is where he even says, "One of you will betray me." And they all started wondering among themselves, you know, is it I? Is it I? And Jesus said, "The one that dips the sop, the one that dips with me, is the one that's going to betray me." And the scripture plainly points out Judas Iscariot, the very one that would sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He'd be the very one to lead the mob to the Garden of Gethsemane, right where Jesus is, the very one that would kiss him on the cheek as a sign to the Roman soldiers, "That's the one, take him." And even when you read it, when Judas comes to the garden and kisses Jesus, Jesus responds with this statement, "Friend, cometh thou to betray me with a kiss?" He calls him friend. He still loves those that will betray him. He still loves those that will not trust him. He still loves those that will turn their backs on him. But reminding you that he loves you more than anything, the one that continues to follow faithfully, the one that continues to trust even when it doesn't make sense, even when you feel like pulling back, even when you feel like doing things contrary, and yet you do what's right, God loves you. Again, reminding us that he shares his love even with those that he knew would do him wrong and would turn their backs on him. In Romans chapter 8, I want you to look at verse 38 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Sometimes the lies will come into one of our heads, causing us to think that God doesn't love me because I've messed up. Many people struggle with knowing and believing that God can truly love them even when they have a dark past, when they have a dark history. Again, Jesus knew exactly who he was dying for on Calvary. He knew who he was dying for. Remember, he told the Pharisees that he came not for the righteous, but for the sinner. He came to die for the sinner, those that needed salvation, those that needed forgiveness, which is every single person. But there are those that think that they don't need God's help. But then there are those that We know that we only can be saved by God. We know that only God can help us. And sometimes we think, why would God? And sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we think, you know what? There's no way that God can love me anymore. But there's not a single person that God doesn't love. He hates the sin, but loves the sinner. In Romans 8, verse 38 and 39, as Paul writes to the believers there at Rome, Paul says, "For I am persuaded." Have you been persuaded by God's love? Have you been persuaded by God's faithfulness? And Paul's going to mention some things that are a part of his life. The things that when you read in Scripture and you read in Paul's letters, you see where Paul was shipwrecked, snake bitten, mistreated by people, lied about by people, thrown into prison, all kinds of things that your adversary and my adversary will try to convince us that God doesn't love us. Because if God loved us, he would not allow hard things to happen in our life. And yet, God does allow hard things to happen in our life for various reasons. But we have to remind ourselves and even remind our adversary of the words that are here in Romans 8, 38 and 39. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And we know that nothing can separate us. If God says nothing can separate us from his love, then there is nothing on this planet, in this universe, in our lifetime that can separate us from the love of God. You might know that this morning. You might be grounded in that truth, but you might know somebody who struggles with that. And what a wonderful place to take them in scriptures to remind them that nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Again, you or somebody you know may struggle with and say, "Well, I don't see how God can love me." And yet his love was manifested through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, where he willingly laid down his life for you and for me. The next thing I want you to think about is the fact that Jesus not only shares his life with us through love, but he also prays for us. You think about a good friend that will always pray for you, that will always be there for you, but yet sometimes even the best of friends, earthly friends, can fail us. I mean, there are times where you may try to call that good friend on the phone and they don't answer. They might be out of town, they may be on vacation, whatever the case is, but our Heavenly Father is always there for us, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, is always watching over us and always praying on our behalf. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, the Bible says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." I mean, that's just a wonderful comfort and reminder that he's always praying for us. Remember what he said about Peter in Luke chapter 22. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." He was warning Peter that Peter's adversary was walking around like a roaring lion, wanting to destroy him, wanting to sift him like wheat. And yet the next thing Jesus said to Peter, "But I've prayed for thee." That's a wonderful thing to know that the God of heaven prays for you. Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, prays for you. The fact that he's always on watch. He never sleeps. He never goes on vacation. He never knows what's going on. He always knows what's going on. He always has the answer. And many times, even without us, even before we can even pray and ask for help, he's already helping us. You probably have experienced that, and I hope that you have. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, the Bible says, "Wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, or come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I'm just glad that the friend that we have in Christ is a friend who loves us dearly, unconditionally, sacrificially, and he is one that prays for us. He prays for us on a daily basis, prays for us on a moment-to-moment basis. Even when we're sleeping, he's watching over us. He's interceding for us because he knows what tomorrow holds. I want us to think about that. Well, Pastor, I know that. I know that Jesus prays for me. He intercedes for me. Yes, but think about it real deeply. He knows what tomorrow holds. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. He warned Peter. And Peter, I believe, out of his love and dedication and just knowing, I mean, he said with his own lips, "Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the Christ." And even when Jesus, back in John chapter 6, said, after everybody left, and Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Will you leave also?" And Peter said, "Where are we going? You have the words of life." But when Jesus tried to warn Peter, "You're going to deny me," Peter, I guarantee you, just like us in our hearts, we're saying, "There's no way, Lord. I am not going to deny you. I've seen the miracles. I know for the fact you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. My life has been blessed because of you. You have transformed my life. I'm no longer just an ordinary fisherman. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I have a home in heaven. I'm not going to deny you." And the Lord says, "Satan desires to sift you, but I've prayed for thee." Even before we face some of the toughest things in our life, Jesus has already interceded on our behalf. He's already prayed for us, prayed that our faith would not fail. He's prayed for us, knowing that, you know what, we're going to fall. He knows if we're going to spiritually fall, but he's prayed for us that we will have the faith to get back up and to keep following, to keep trusting. And sometimes he'll come to us, just like he went to Peter after the fact and restored the relationship, and asked Peter, "Do you love me?" 3 times. And finally said, "Follow me. I've got some things for you to do." Peter thought he was all washed up. He thought, "Well, I might as well go back to fishing, because I did what I said I wouldn't do. So I'm sure that he doesn't love me anymore. I'm sure he doesn't want me around." And that's the lie of the devil. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, especially when we make mistakes. And we do make mistakes, and we will continue to make mistakes because we're human. But we have somebody on our side, someone who dwells within us, to help us to remember that his love is greater than any mistake we can make. That his presence in our life is always there. And if we will believe it, and if we will trust him and continue to follow him and believe that he is on our side, he will help us to finish the course that he has placed our feet upon. We have a race to run, just like Paul talked about, and the Lord helped Paul finish his race, just like he will help us as well. But not only does Christ pray for us, but he also provides for us. Look at 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to look at verse number 9. Again, when you think about a friend, you love when your friend does something for you, something special, provides for you. I mean, if you're sick, I mean, obviously, if you're married, but again, you have friends that just really think about you. I mean, I've had friends in my lifetime that, you know, would just, unbeknownst to me, you know, in a time of need, they would provide something without me asking. They know. Because they have a walk with God, and they just know without you saying anything at times that there's a need that needs to be met. And I've had financial needs met by friends. I've had food provided by friends who didn't necessarily, you know, come to me and hand me the grocery bags, but the doorbell ring and open the door. There's no one there, no cars around, but there's bags of groceries on my doorstep. I mean, those are some good friends that really look out for you. And you think about Christ, again, Jesus is the one that works in us and through us to be able to do those things, to be able to be that friend. Again, we love to have those friends, but God wants us to be that type of friend to others as well. And Jesus is, if I can say, he's the role model. He's the one that we are to be, following the example of. And the fact that he does, he provides anything that you need, emotional, physical, spiritual, whatever it may be. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 9. I mean, you know this account again. I bring it up often, but it's just something that God just continues to bring to my mind. And that is the fact that Paul had this thorn in the flesh. He had something that was limiting his abilities. And he prayed in faith, believing that God could deliver him from it. But God didn't, because sometimes God wants us to keep whatever it is that's hindering us so that we will rely more on him. And here it says, he said unto me, Jesus speaking to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Again, what is it that you need at any given time? It may be strength in times of weakness. Again, where you're spiritually weak, where you're physically weak, you're emotionally weak, and yet Jesus will give the strength in those weak moments. It may be wisdom that we need in times of uncertainty, and Jesus is the one that provides the wisdom that we need. Again, we have friends that are limited in what they can do. Even as a husband, I am my wife's best friend, and she's my best friend, yet I'm limited in what I can do for her. I cannot heal a broken heart. I cannot help her to feel better internally. I can do my best, flowers, chocolate, right? But we all know that sometimes those things just don't help. You need God to heal a broken heart. You need God to help get over something. And he's the one that can bring exactly what we need. Comfort in times of sorrow, hope in times of hopelessness, encouragement in times of distress, forgiveness in times of failure, peace in times of trials, and help any time we call upon him. He will provide exactly what we need. He's the friend that has all the answers. He's the friend that has all the provisions. He's the friend that's the closest to you because he resides within you. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. The last thing I want you to think about in regards to our friendship with Christ is the fact that he supports you. He supports you. Some friends won't always support you or me, but Jesus always supports us. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, if you would. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17 and 18. He will support you and me in times of testing. When it seems like everybody's deserted you, when it seems like you're at the bottom of the barrel, you're at the end of the rope, he's there to support you. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted. He is able to help us. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He understands. Again, not everybody understands what you go through and what I go through. Not everybody understands what we're thinking, what we're feeling. Sometimes you'll find somebody that's been through the same situation that can relate to you, but Jesus relates in all areas. He has all the answers. He can comfort in any given situation. In Hebrews chapter 4, For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Never forget where your help truly lies. Yes, God brings in good people in our lives, people that will encourage us in the Lord. David had a friend in, help me out. Yeah, Saul's son. My brain just escaped me. Brother Mike, Jonathan. I wanted to say Joshua, and it's like, no, that's not it. Anyway, David had a friend in Jonathan whose father wanted to kill David, and Jonathan would not go along with it. In fact, Jonathan would help David and let David know what his father was going to do. And he even came this one time. David's hiding out in the forest. Jonathan comes to him, strengthens him, encourages him in the Lord, and says, Jonathan, who is supposed to be the next in line to be king, according to, you know, just according to royalty and the rules and stuff, he's the, you know, the son of Saul. But he tells David, I know you're going to be the next king. That's God's will. And he encourages David in God's will for his life. Never turned his back on David. Never mistreated him. Never betrayed him. But friends still fail. But Jesus never does. He never fails. He's always there. He's always supporting us in times of testing and in times of failure as well. I already mentioned Peter betraying Christ, denying the Lord three times, and yet Jesus came to Peter and forgave him. And we know that he forgave him because he came to Peter and addressed Peter directly and said, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. He's telling him, I've got things for you to do. And he follows him. And we see Peter's life through scriptures just rebound from that moment of time where he allowed himself to be fearful, allowed himself to deny the Lord, allowed himself not to trust that God could help him through the moment. And yet Jesus comes to him. He's the friend that will always come, tell us what we've done wrong in love, but then help us to turn it around and make it right. I don't know, you probably have had friends in your lifetime that were good friends, but something happened and they deserted you. I've had friends do that. Amazingly, even when I first went into the ministry, I had friends turn their backs on me. And within the first year, I had friends that were helping and kind of supportive, yet just kind of turned their back. And I can't tell you why. I mean, I won't go into great detail, but even as a pastor, pastors have pastor friends at times turn their backs on them for whatever reason. And you know what? It hurts. And you know it hurts when you have somebody you think that you can trust and as a friend to all of a sudden treat you like the enemy. But there's one who never will. There's one who will love you unconditionally, one who's always there for you, one who will always support you. When you're wrong, he will let you know that you're wrong. Again, in Sunday school, we're going through a curriculum that's entitled Portraits of Grace, and it's pictures of God's grace in different lives, and we're looking at Gideon, and we're looking at the fact that after 7 years of being oppressed by the Midianites, they're crying out to God for help. God sends a prophet to tell them why they're being oppressed, because of their sin, because of their rebellion, because of them turning their back on God when he warned them not to do that, when he told them, I'm your God, I brought you out of slavery, I redeemed you, I brought you into the promised land, I warned you not to follow the gods of this land, and you did it. But then the next verse, he tells them, it's because of your sin that all this is happening. But then the very next verse, he's raising up Gideon to deliver them. He's raising up someone to deliver them out of their oppression. Now, what a wonderful God that we serve, that he will speak to us, he'll tell us the truth in love, but then he'll help us. Not all friends are like that. Now, some people will tell us what's on their mind, give us a mouthful, and then walk away. But God, he'll tell us the truth, but then he will help us. That's a friend. That's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's the friend that we have in Jesus Christ. He's always there. He will support you in times of testing. He will support you in times of failure to help you to rise back up, to do what's right. And he is our sacrifice. Look at John chapter 10. Just a couple more verses and we're done. But the friend that we have in Jesus is a friend who shares his life with us through his love, one that intercedes for us, one that provides what we need emotionally, physically, spiritually, one who supports us, and the one who has showed his love for us through his sacrifice. In John chapter 10, you look at verse 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, Jesus says, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, Jesus has all power. I've said it often, and you probably have heard it somewhere else, probably. But as someone once said, the devil has some power, but God has all power. Again, don't neglect the greatest friend that has ever come into your life, and that's Jesus Christ. The one that came into your life through his shed blood, laying down his life, dying for us while we were yet in our sins. He didn't wait until we became good enough. He didn't wait until we, you know, cleaned up and became sober and was, you know, the perfect person. No, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because that's how much he loves. He loves people where they're at, but not to leave them there. Anybody can come to Jesus right where they're at, whatever state their life is in, they can come to Christ, and he will take them, and he'll walk with them and change their life. And you have experienced the change that Christ has brought into your life because he was willing to lay down his life so that we might have life. Remember, he told those on one day that he came to give life and to give it more abundantly. He said, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And there are lives being destroyed, Christian lives being destroyed because they're believing lies. They're believing that only hope in this world, there's no hope in God, he's forsaken you, he can't help you. Yet when we read scripture, when we read God's word, we find out that the devil's the liar. We find out the world is the liar, and God is a man that shall not lie. He's the one that speaks the truth. He's the one that has unconditional love, sacrificial love, and he has showed that through Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, speaking of Jesus, who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And lastly, John 15, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. I mean, think about to follow Christ every day of our life, to experience the love of Christ every day of our life, to experience the forgiveness and the joy of Christ every day of our life. The fact is, when you find yourself between a rock and a hard place in life because of just situations, the fact that when it seems like everybody else has deserted you, yet he's right there by your side. He's right there giving you the strength, the grace to move on. Again, many people are at the end of their rope. They're at the end of their life. They don't know what to do. They're struggling. And they're being lied to, saying, just take your life, just end it, and it'll all be over with. And yet it won't be over with. But we have a friend that really sticks closer than anybody else. Someone who loves us deeper, greater than anybody. One who knows us. Because have you ever had a friend or knew somebody, and when you got to really know them, you stopped being their friend? Because you found out some things in their life, you're like, well, I don't want to be associated with that person. Isn't it a wonderful thing that Jesus will be associated with a murderer? Think about Paul. Paul is a murderer. And yet when his life turned around the road to Damascus, people saw Christ in him. Jesus was willing to come to him. So it doesn't matter what our life entails. Jesus Christ knows us more than anybody else. He knows our darkest secrets. He knows the things we struggle with mentally that maybe nobody else knows about, and yet he has the answer. He has the love that he wants to fill you and me with. He wants to be that friend that we rely on 100% of the time, 24/7, 365 days. He wants to be the one that we always cry out to, the one that we always follow, the one that we always trust, knowing that as we read his word, we have the confidence that he loves us without a shadow of a doubt, that he has the answer for our life. And that is why we want to invite people to Friend Day. People we know need Jesus Christ. We want them to come to know the friend that we know and love and loves us. That's why we want to share that with people, because you have experienced it. And what is it that we have experienced in life that we don't want to share with others? I mean, most parents, fathers that have some type of hobby, some type of, you know, hunting or fishing or whatever, they want to share that with their kids. They want to teach their kids that. Mothers, vice versa, things in life that we just, you know, that are a thrill to us, whether it's crocheting, you know, whatever it is you love to do, you want other people to like it too. And sometimes you'll share that with somebody in hopes that, hey, they'll like it too. Think about Jesus Christ. That's the number one thing we all have in common, that our life has been changed, and we should want others to have their life changed as well. Never forget the friend that you have in Christ. I know young people are struggling, but so are, I'll say, older Christians as well, struggling as in their life. And we've got to remind ourselves and help remind them that Jesus is the answer. He's the one that will love them unconditionally and help them where they're at. And he's the one that can permanently change their life for good, as he has done for us. Go ahead and stand.